So last week, I told a man that I was going to be preaching on this gospel. He went down to the Priceless bake sale, and he bought a painted rock, and he gave it to me. And on it, it says faith. And I was just about to thank him when he said, "Here you go, Deacon. That's one less rock they can throw at you next week." Wow. I didn't know my homilies were that bad. I guess people just want to cast stones. I guess there's a part of us that feels we need to judge others. We're quick to put labels on those who are not like us. Most of the time, it's a way of recognizing our differences. And sometimes it's complimentary. That person is smart, hardworking, athletic, gifted, rich, or holy. Sometimes it's derogatory. That person is a foreigner, a Jew, alcoholic, gay, divorced, ugly, or adulterer. You get the point. We are quick to label people, and by putting a label on someone, we begin judging, even if we don't know what we're doing. Part of my ministry outside of the church is to go into the Waukesha County Jail and hold a Bible study. John Wamel was the man that got me involved in this ministry, and he would always say, if the same circumstances occurred in your life that happened to the men inside the prison, you might very well be there too. We don't know their stories. They are men and women just like us who were dealt a set of circumstances that, and their choices resulted in jail time. And it's easy for us to feel superior, to sit in judgment, to cast stones, especially if we keep our own sins hidden. In the gospel, they bring a woman before Jesus. She is caught in the act of adultery. She is guilty, and the punishment is supposed to be death. Those were different times back then, but that was the rule. They expect they have trapped Jesus. He must answer life or death. If life, he must reject the law of Moses. And if he says death, he's in conflict with the Roman Empire, who holds the right to inflict the death penalty. Plus, he rejects his own teaching of love and mercy, making him a hypocrite. And Jesus hates hypocrites. Instead, he bent down and began to write with his finger. Doesn't say what he wrote, and no one knows for sure. It's just conjecture, but only a guess. But I heard that what he said was what he wrote was different for everyone who read it. It named their darkest sin. As each person read it, they dropped their stone and walked away. When the bright light is cast upon our darkest sins, the power to judge becomes lifeless. It's lifeless in our own hypocrisy. We are compelled to drop our stones and walk away. And when everyone had left and it was only the woman standing there before Jesus, he asked her if anyone condemned her. And she answered, no. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. Now, some people who are reading this passage will tell us that there is no hell, that God condemns no one, and all will be welcome in heaven, thanks to his abundant mercy and his grace. Since no one is really worthy to go to heaven, we all get in. If we believe there are no consequences for our actions, on how we treat, label, and judge others, our fellow human beings, then I've got to believe that we are in for the surprise of our eternal life. Jesus does have abundant mercy, and his mercy is far bigger than our worst sin. He is the God of second chances, third chances, infinite chances. He loves you, and he wants you to join him in heaven, to be with him and his Father, our Father. But we can't gloss over the final words. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. That's like telling us to stop breathing, right? We're only humans. We are inclined to sin, to give in to temptation, to treat others worse than we would treat ourselves, to turn from God. It's a constant battle despite our best intentions. We do have a remedy. We are offered the gift of the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, I teach fourth graders LFF, CCD for those of you who remember it that way. And this past week, we were talking about reconciliation. And there are three insights that I'd like to share. First, some said they either don't go or rarely go to reconciliation. Second, it's still relatively new for them and it's scary. Remember, they had received the sacrament just a little under 2 years ago. The final comment was when they did go, they felt good, clean, holy. Now, parents, this is a golden opportunity. If you aren't going as a family, you're missing this great opportunity for your children to feel good, clean, and holy. By your example, you walk and you live your faith and you set the example for your children. Now, many adults don't go to reconciliation, and for many, these same insights apply. As part of our faith, the church has set aside 5 precepts that we are to follow. Each of these precepts of the Catholic Church is a requirement. Together with the 10 commandments, they represent the minimum level of moral living. Intentional violation of the precepts of the commandments is a grave matter, meaning a mortal sin. For those of you who don't know what those 5 precepts are or have never heard of them, let me quickly list them for you. You shall attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation. You shall confess your sins at least once a year. You shall receive Holy Communion at least during the Easter season. You shall observe the days of fasting and abstinence established by the church. You shall help to provide for the needs of the church. Now, each one of these is worthy of discussion, but let's just talk about the second. Confess your sins once a year. No one is guaranteed a free pass into heaven, but we are all given a chance to get a clean slate, to start fresh, to a do-over whenever we visit the priest in reconciliation. Some will say, my sins are covered by the penitential rite at the beginning of Mass, and I don't need to go. The rite during Mass is not the sacrament of reconciliation. You may receive absolution from venial sins, but not from mortal sins. You may be confused on what is mortal and venial. For a sin to be mortal, you have to know it's wrong, you have to do it anyways, and it has to be a grave matter. Now, the first two we can pretty well understand, but some of us will get confused on what is a grave matter. And that's why we go to the priest. He can help you with that, and he can absolve you of mortal sins. The rite at Mass cannot. The second insight. Even adults are afraid to confess their sins in person, even to a priest. Often it's been such a long time, we don't even know where to start. Our priests are kind and understanding, even Father Aaron. They will walk you through it. They will help you make a good confession. You owe it to yourself and to your God to go. Finally, we too can feel good and clean and holy. That's true whenever we make an honest confession, even for adults. We begin by going. We're still in Lent. This is the time of repentance and conversion. If you haven't gone in the last year, now is a very good time. Either go on your own, or better yet, go with your family. But go. And each time we go, the goal is to sin less, ultimately to not sin anymore. St. Dominic offers reconciliation on Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. or by appointment. But this Wednesday, April 10th, as part of the Archdiocese 175th anniversary sacrament event, priests from our parish and surrounding parishes will offer the sacrament of reconciliation for 12 hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. St. Dominic was selected as one of 10 sites in the Archdiocese to offer this event. Stop in and leave with a clean slate. Now, in conclusion, no one is without sin. St. Padre Pio said, even if a room is very clean and the door is closed, the dust will collect there and it will require cleaning. We have been given the remedy, the sacrament of reconciliation. No one should be casting stones or labeling our neighbor. Jesus knows our sins, and if you look closely, they may be written in the dirt. And if there's any label that we need to attach, let us call ourselves good, clean, and holy.